Hitchcock two-layer cruise to a 62-8 afternoon win over Iroquois Lake Preston yesterday. Brendan Noll, a big game with 5 touchdown passes, 3 of them to Eric Salmon. Noll also had 118 yards rushing with a 93-yard run and scored on a 60-yard kickoff return as the game ended early in the third quarter. Miller Highmore Herald notched their first win of the season, a tight one. They defeat Scotland Menno 24-20. DeSmit defeated Del Rapids St. Mary 32-14, and Sully Buttes rolled to a 62-12 win over Sunshine Bible. Ron Colley shut out Redfield 35-0. 11 AA scorers last night. Pierre shut out Brookings 49-0. Huron goes to Brookings next week. T-Area defeated Aberdeen 28-7, Sturgis 38, Mitchell 6, Yankton defeated Spearfish 42-27. 11 AAA, O'Gorman rolled it up on Roosevelt, defeating the Riders 77-20. Sioux Falls Jefferson rallied. They were down 17-0, but rallied to win over Washington in overtime 24-17. That's your high school football scores from last night. Cross country, the Augustana Twilight Meet in Sioux Falls, huge meet with high schools and also colleges running last night. Huron took a couple of athletes down in the girls. There were 334 total runners for high school girls. Josie Vlieger in the middle of the pack, finishing 183 for Huron. Huron boys, again, high school boys, huge meet, 422 runners. Alex Pester was 372nd, but a great showing for the Miller Rustler boys. Again, 422 runners at the meet. Alex Shoemaker was 15th, and Pierce Bomberger was 16th. So that's pretty high up for such a tough competition. Isaiah Gortmaker was 269th for the Miller boys. That's the rundown of our results from yesterday. A look at the schedule for today. It's State Fair weekend, so an annual event on Saturday of the fair. Andy's Road Race gets underway today. I believe the bike portion starts at 7:30 with the running portion starting at 8 o'clock. Here on Tiger Girls Tennis, originally scheduled as a quad, but they've just broken it down to one duel with Brandon Valley. That's due to the heat. So here on a Brandon Valley, we'll have a duel in Mitchell, I believe, starting right away this morning, and that will be the one duel that Huron will get in today, again, due to the heat. And here on Tiger Cheer and Dance, they're on the road again today at the Pier Invitational. That's our local schedule. Minnesota Twins opened up a weekend series in Arlington, Texas. The Texas Rangers have been struggling. Twins able to pounce on that with some late home runs against the Ranger bullpen, and the Twins win the series opener. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Well, on Friday night at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, it was a dynamite pitcher's duel between Joe Ryan and Max Scherzer. Scherzer, 6 innings, not a single run, just one base hit. He fanned 7. Joe Ryan gave up a solo home run to Corey Seager, and that was it. Aided and abetted by Andrew Stevenson, pulling back what could have, should have, would have been a 2-run homer for Mitch Garver. But when the bullpen door swung open, boy, the Twins were ready. When lefty Brock Burke came in, pinch hitter Jordan Luplow supplanted Matt Wallner in the batter's box. And Luplow hits one high in the air to right field. Garcia racing back. Garcia looking up. That ball is gone. And Jordan Luplow with a 2-run home run to slingshot the Twins into the lead. That was just the start. One out later, Christian Vasquez, an opposite field home run, his 5th of the year. Jorge Polanco, a 2-run dinger in the 8th. It was 9-up, 9-down for Jack Steelbar and Duran. And the Twins win 5-1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Game 2 of the series coming up this evening with Dallas Keuchel on the mound for the Twins. Pregame is at 5:30 here on KOKK. Go to Sports Saturday coming up at about 8 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll hear from Huron Tiger soccer coach Leah Branna. Also Huron Tiger football coach Drew Strand. A little bit more on the Minnesota Twins win last night as well. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Time for a monthly update for Nordby Center for Recreation. Joey Mitchell, the director at the Nordby, joins us here, getting set for the month of September. And Joey, first off here, boy, September, it just seems like it's a whole different community now. School's in session. You kind of shift gears now.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. As you can see, if you're driving through town at 8 o'clock in the morning now, just going to work or slightly before, you'll see the traffic intersections, the traffic alone in town with people going to schools. Here at the Nordby Center, things do slow down a little bit during the day, but as soon as school's out at 3:15, we ramp right back up and it's busy. Kids are in and out the doors. We have a lot of activities coming up in September here. Karate starts September 11th, and that's for youth and adult. There's all sorts of beginner, advanced, so there's something for everyone there. If that's something that interests you, go ahead and just give us a shout at the desk. Other things, I guess, for basketball and volleyball, some skill camps coming up. Stephanie Cheddar joins us. She's a Huron Hall of Famer. Joins us on staff here and kind of does the volleyball camp for us, so that's nice. You can watch our Facebook for the official release on dates and more details on those. Otherwise, we have swimming lessons. That's a big question we've gotten. Swimming lessons won't happen until October, just kind of because of we have to do a pool painting project. The pool has to get sandblasted. It hasn't been sandblasted in 24 years. So we got to sandblast it, we'll prime, we'll paint it, we'll refill it, we'll go back to having a good time with all the fitness classes, pool parties, birthday parties. There's an assortment of different things.
Well, I'll just talk about that pool then. I would imagine that means the pool will be closed for a while.
You are right. And the date, I do not know yet. But as soon as I do, I'm going to get it out to everyone. We're kind of just at the hands of the contractor. Like I said, it was a little bigger project than we originally had anticipated. So there has been a few delays. But we'll do the best we can to notifying everybody as soon as we know. It does look like it's going to be right after the fair. And it'll be down 3-4 weeks.
And, you know, like I said, you just kind of shift gears here. Things are a little different. One thing I imagine is constant, though, is pickleball. We've been talking about each time we visited here because, boy, I think it's even more popular now than it was when we started doing these visits 2 months ago.
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to give the city a little credit on that. I know Chad Schroeder has been working his butt off down there. He got some new pickleball courts put in over at Rocket Slide Park, their Prospect Park across from Madison. There's 6 brand new outdoor courts, which are awesome. You know, and when people play outdoor courts, it just expands the sport more. And unfortunately, we do live in South Dakota, so we are going to probably see winter and snow. So hopefully they'll continue playing and come indoors here at the Nordby Center. The courts are blue, just like the ones down there, so there shouldn't be too much of a transition.
You know, and again, pickleball, and we spent a little time on this each of these visits, but again, in layman's terms, it's basically a full-size ping pong. It's like halfway between tennis and ping pong.
You're exactly correct. It's life-size ping pong, as ping pong is life-size, but you're standing on the table. That's the best explanation for short synopsis anyways. If you want more details on that, just go ahead and stop by about any day of the week around noon. There's groups from 8 to 12, 16 players that just show up, play over their lunch breaks, even extended times, in the evenings on Fridays after 5:30. Otherwise, you can just call and ask the desk, and we can definitely help work you through that.
And overall, if people got questions or anything else they need to know, there's different avenues, as you've said a couple of times. Just call the Norby Center, and I think you keep the website and the Facebook page updated quite frequently as well.
You're absolutely right. You can give us a call at 605-352-2627. I can help you out with anything. Otherwise, the front desk, people answering, they have answers to. Our Facebook page does get updated daily along with the website. Facebook is probably our biggest communicator. People shoot us messages and comments on there, and we try to get back within the hour. So,
Joey Mitchell, director of the Norby Center for Recreation, our monthly update as they're kind of shifting gears with school in session and what goes on there. Again, for more information, they do update their Facebook page daily. You can also look or check out their website as well. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Norby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Up next here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Lena Branagh, head coach of the Huron Tiger Boys soccer team, pretty much to the midpoint of the season. And Huron comes in with a record of 2-2-1 and have a week off here, played this past Tuesday and are off till next Tuesday. We'll talk how the season has went coming up. First off, let's just do some of the basics on numbers, kids you have out. I know participation has never been a problem with Huron Tiger Boys soccer.
Yeah, we certainly get a ton of interest for our team, and we do get a lot of middle school guys that are interested in trying out. And some years the middle school guys are great and they can make the team, and some years they're just not ready, might be a size thing. So we had about 70 boys that tried out, and we had to cut the team down because we only have 45 uniforms. Where we're at for this year, 45 players.
You know, and that's probably the number you want, too. That way you have full JV, full varsity. And the big thing is those kids that aren't full-time varsity, you need to find playing time.
Yeah, and we've got, I think we have four or five guys that play varsity and JV. We've been using them in the varsity game recently because we've had some injuries, some illness, and they've had to step up and play in there, whether they're ready or not. And it's nice to get them more playing time in the JV game because next year, as we have people graduate, they'll be expected to jump in and fill those roles next year.
And you did have some turnover in the lineup this year. I believe you said you had 9 seniors you lost, plus another underclassman who was one of your best scorers last year moved. So you knew you were going to have to bring in some different faces, some different names.
Yeah, we lost four of our four seniors that were varsity starters, and then a fifth senior that was our kind of our first person that we'd put in from our bench, and then another player, our top goal scorer from last year, Mugay, he moved, and then we actually had another starter move. So really, we lost all of those starters and probably our best bench player, as well as, like, trying to fill the spot at goalie, who our goalie had graduated, and he'd been our varsity goalie for 3 years. So we did lose a lot, but some of the returning players have gotten a little bit of varsity experience last year, which was good, so they weren't as nervous this year. But it is different, of course, when you're jumping into a game when your team has the lead, and this year you're the one that has to help us get the lead. It's different pressures, of course.
And coming into this season, I'm sure leadership, who is going to fill those roles? You know, you do have some guys back from last year, but you're asking those guys to have different roles this year.
Yeah. Some of the guys that, you know, have led us, one of our seniors, Alar Sar, he's been on varsity since he was an eighth grader, and he's been a starter since partway through his eighth grade year, and he's always been fairly vocal, but I've seen him step up a little bit more back there because sometimes he's in there with, on the defensive end, with three sophomores or four sophomores surrounding him. And while some of them have played varsity, again, they were never starters to begin with last year, so it's just different when now they have to be depended on. And then Taha Saw, he is one of our captains. He's a junior, and he's a pretty vocal leader in trying to get those kids to kind of start talking on the field and, you know, make sure that they're organized in the back. He plays midfield and sometimes defense as well, and he's been pretty vocal for us also.
Record as it stands now, 2-2-1, so not quite to the midpoint of the season, but this week-long break, I think, kind of shows you you're at the midpoint. And of the five matches you played so far, four have been close. Of course, you had the one draw, but this past Tuesday, 5-1, Aberdeen came in and took care of business. And, you know, I think might have been an eye-opener for the boys. It's been a while since here on boys soccer has suffered a loss like that.
Yeah, you know, I think they came in with nothing to lose. They hadn't lost any games yet this year, or they hadn't won any games yet this year. And some of the teams they had played are very good. I mean, they've played Spearfish 2-0. I mean, we lost to Spearfish also by a goal. So, I mean, those are pretty close. I mean, they had gotten beaten by Sioux Falls Jefferson kind of big. So, I mean, you just kind of didn't really know what to expect from them. But, I mean, Aberdeen soccer is usually always one of the better ESD schools. So even though they had come in and they hadn't won any games, we knew it wasn't going to be an easy game. And we were down three of our starters. So that definitely hurt us. And then there were a couple of kids who'd been sick and they were trying to play through it. But I didn't feel like we were at full strength. But, I mean, Aberdeen came in and I guess wanted it more, and we did not respond the way that I thought we should have.
In talking with Leah Brenna, head boys soccer coach for the Huron Tigers, a weekend off here, in fact, a full week off before they get back to it. Brookings and Mitchell coming up next week. So we're, you know, as I said, really middle point here. What have you seen so far? And now as you get to the second half, now kids got to start to take that next step. To me, you're no longer inexperienced when you're halfway through the season.
Yeah, and I think we're starting to settle in a little bit more. Some of our offensive players have played quite a bit of varsity. Beyonce, he's a 10th grader. When he was an 8th grader, he was our top scorer that year on varsity. And last year, he went out about halfway through the season with a torn meniscus and torn PCL. So, I mean, he's just back from surgery, really didn't get to play much this summer, and he's scored a few goals now, so he's kind of found his groove, which is great. We have another striker that Ong Myatt, he played some last year, scored a few varsity goals, but now he's, you know, having to step in, and he's a junior and lead the offense as well. And then we have Ong Tu and Lei Thaw. Ong-Q's a senior and Lei is a junior, and those guys have been in our midfield since they were in ninth grade. So those guys are people that I feel like I can depend on to lead the team and to play well, and it's just getting these other guys to kind of get their groove in and everybody find the puzzle pieces and make it work out there.
So as you move ahead, talk about some of your goals. I guess the main thing is, you know, you're 2-2-1 right now. If playoffs started today and was still a long ways to go, but you're the number 7 seed, which would get you at home, I believe, for the first round. I'm sure that's probably the biggest goal right now, at least get one postseason game at home.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we always want to be able to host that so fans can come out and watch our games. And, you know, it's better to play in front of your home crowd than somebody else's home crowd. And we don't always get the people on the road to travel. We started seeing some of our alumni come travel and watch our away games, which has been great. But we don't have some of that same parental following that some of the other teams get. But yeah, if we want to hold our position in the top 8 so we can host that, we've really got to pick it up these next few weeks. And it'll be a busy few weeks because we start playing pretty much 2 games a week through the end of September.
And just some of the goals for that before you get to the postseason, what improvements do you want to see?
Well, the main thing that we have to do is we have to start talking on the field. And I don't know, it's been a challenge for our guys every year, just the communication aspect. And I think sometimes, you know, we've got people who speak Spanish, people who speak English, people who speak Korean, and sometimes it's hard when you're in a pressure moment to get everybody on the same language. And I think that has been a problem in the past. It's getting better, but that's just something that we really have to work on, and then we just need to start taking more shots. I mean, the boys shoot all the time in practice, and they'll take these long shots, but then when we get to a game, they would rather dribble up and try to shoot right in front of the goalie, which is great if you have the opportunity, but sometimes you don't, and you just got to take those shots. And if it misses, it misses. But if you continue to put the pressure on another team, sooner or later it's going to go in, and we just have to be better about doing that.
Leah Brenna, head coach here on Tiger Boys Soccer. Both soccer teams are off here for the weekend. Tuesday, they go to Brookings, and then on Thursday, they're split. Boys go to Mitchell. Girls are at home against the Colonels as they get into the second half of the season. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday, KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, talking with Drew Strand, head football coach of the Huron Tigers. Tigers drop one to Watertown last night, 32-13. Kept it tight until late in the second quarter. A pair of defensive touchdowns kind of put Watertown in control, and they took it on from there. And Drew, just overhand, I know we're after the game was over, I was getting ready to drop Corky off, and Corky just made the comment, we couldn't shoot any more toes off because we already shot him off. Take nothing away from Watertown, but we just made too many mistakes.
Yep, I mean, that was our own mistakes games on my end of the point from our play call standpoint on those two interceptions that we ended up throwing and them guys running back. You know, I should have gave what they were giving us and just kind of threw the quick game stuff, but I decided just to try it to go deep a couple times there, and they were blanking on us pretty well to keep everything underneath. And you know, I just didn't see it early enough, and those mistakes are on me. And then a couple of those bad snaps to, you know, end our drives or miss blocks and things like that that happened early on in the first half. We just shot ourselves in the foot, just like you said. We just got to clean up those mistakes.
And Watertown, give them credit. They took advantage of our mistakes where we didn't necessarily do the same with them. You know, it's just kind of strange with Juven Hudson. For the most part, we kept him under control, but yet there's an 84-yard run at a key time. He ends up, I think I had him for 199 yards, and probably 75% of that came on about 3 or 4 runs.
Yep. I mean, defensively, we did exactly what we were supposed to do, was contain him for most of the night. We knew there was times where he was going to break a couple big, but that's why we had to continue to score. I told our guys it was a race to 35, and unfortunately, you know, when we got inside the 30, we kept getting stopped every time.
And that was the thing, and I remember, I think you made a comment too when you were up for the post game listening to Coach Hodorf talk with the Watertown radio station. He made a comment, you know, we were able to keep them out of the end zone when they got inside the 30, got inside the 25, and at the end of the day, that's the key.
Yep, I mean, if you look at our stuff even from last year, you know, that's kind of was our crippler right there, was we just would get down and we'd look really good on our drives, and all of a sudden we'd get inside the 30 and we'd kind of stall out there. And you know, I think we drew up a couple plays last night where we had opportunities, but we just couldn't finish or get it done, and it was a block or a bad snap or, you know, me calling the wrong pass play at the wrong time. So, you know, I just got to get better at what I do and see what they're giving us and kind of throw those quicker routes if we need to, just to get the ball going when we're inside the 30 and, you know, rely more on that run game and those offensive linemen since they are senior loaded. We just got to continue to ride behind those guys and hand the ball to our guys.
You know, we did have a lot of things going our way, and probably the key was the time of possession. We had about a minute and a half advantage at halftime, and I know that's what Watertown wants. They want to control the ball, but we did an effective job of keeping it out of Hudson's hands. But on the other hand, we held the ball for almost the entire third quarter, but that came with a caveat because they had a touchdown there in between two possessions.
Yep. I mean, if you look at our possessions, I thought that first drive that we had looked amazing and awesome, and everybody was doing their jobs and did what we were supposed to do, and we were finding those guys making blocks and making plays. Unfortunately, those things just don't always end up continuing all the way to the end zone, so we just got to find a way to continue those. And it looked really good when we controlled the ball. That's kind of what our game plan was on offense, was to keep it out of Hudson's hands, and we did that right away for the most part. We just got to continue that and be able to grind. I think the heat got to our guys a little bit, and you know, our guys, we got a lot of guys playing both ways, so unfortunately we just got to find a way to push through those things and compete the whole time.
You know, and he had two what I felt were very scary-looking injuries very early in the game. Holden Haig went down a little bit later. Cash and Caudell went down, but both came back in. For Holden, I think he more got a little scared than anything else, just kind of the way he went down on that play. But after he walked it off, realized it was okay. Cash, and he's just got a lingering injury that, you know he plays hard.
Yep, I mean, both of those guys are definitely leaders and guys that you want to have out on the field. So when those two are both out, it kind of wiped our offensive game plan and being able to run the things that we normally run. So we kind of got to modify a little bit and, you know, kind of take those as they come. But, you know, we can rely on other guys, and I got to do a better job of finding those other guys that are there when those two come out of the games. So we got two good senior leaders out there at wide receiver that I can get them the ball in space. And we just got to continue to rely on those guys when things like that happen.
You know, and one key defensive run was right at the end of the first half after we have the bad punt snap. They get the ball at two, and probably while we did get an interception on the second play after that, the first play was probably the big thing because, you know, time was a factor there for Watertown on the first play. They ran Hudson up the middle, and we dropped him for about a four-yard loss and kind of forced them to pass the ball, and then had a good pass rush on the quarterback there, and Gavin Moding wasn't for Hudson speed. I think Gavin Moding maybe takes that to the house.
Yep. I mean, I went home and I watched that play right away just to see what they had. And, yeah, if one guy blocks Hudson, I think we take that to the house right away at halftime. And, you know, we walk in with the lead and some momentum. But even that, I mean, we had some momentum after that, just stopping them and things like that and going that route. But, yeah, I mean, I watched him and he was the only guy on the left side of the field and he came all the way across. You know, that's speed. But, you know, I give our guys a bunch of credit for not giving up there at the goal line at half especially. I mean, making plays and holding them guys and keeping us in the game.
And like I said, the key was maybe the play before that, because we had like three guys come up the middle and stop Hudson for a loss. But it also shows you about Hudson, because we had him under wraps that entire second half until all of a sudden he just springs that 80-some yard run.
Yep. I mean, that was our defensive game plan, just contain him and keep him in and have guys flocking to the ball. Unfortunately, you know, guys like that, they're going to break a couple loose here and there, and he played outstanding. And, you know, Watertown, I got to give a lot of credit to their front, too, on offense and defense. They got some guys, and they're hitting, and they're in the trenches all game long, and they don't give up. And it gives our guys a lot of, you know, give our guys a lot of credit for trying to stay with them. But when they have guys on offense and defense that aren't going both ways the whole way like our guys kind of got wore out a little bit there. But, you know, we did a great job of competing the whole time and staying with them and, you know, just fighting until the very end.
So you come out of this game now, we're at 0-2, but feel like we've competed and maybe our own worst enemy last night. You know, got some nicks here, but otherwise, considering what we saw there in the first quarter last night, came out fairly healthy last night, so that's the first good thing.
Yep, I mean, we're healthy, and that's kind of exactly what we wanted, was to stay healthy as much as we can. And, you know, week one, we came out pretty healthy except for OK2, and then this week I think we'll have a lot of guys that are healthy and back, might have a few bumps and bruises, but, you know, in the grand schemes of things, we just have to clean up our own game. You know, it's kind of us beating ourselves here with either bad snaps or mistakes that we make either offensively or defensively. So, I mean, if we come up and show up to practice this week and kind of turn things up just on our mental game part, and, you know, myself making better play calls, better game plan, I think, you know, we could make a decent run here in the middle of this season.
Now, Brookings, next week we go on the road, and I like doing games in luxury boxes. That's what I'll be doing next Friday night. But I know Brookings, they've struggled some. They were shut out by Watertown last week, last night by Pierre. Granted, those are going to be two teams that have something to say about things at the end of the season, I think. But, you know, Brookings a little bit like us, where, you know, their numbers aren't where they'd like them to be. But, you know, that both teams are going to eyeball this. You know, this is a game we can get.
Yep. I mean, both teams are going to go in with the same mindset of, you know, this is a team that we have an opportunity to win, and, you know, I just hope our guys want to take that. You know, we kind of told them last week, no one's going to give us anything. We got to continue and take it, and to be able to change our culture and what we want as a program, we got to find guys that are going to want to compete and show up and be there every time. You know, just not for the 48 minutes on Friday night. We got to be able to do that all week in practice. Brookings isn't going to be just an easy game either for us. I mean, we got to show up, we got to be ready to play, and we got to take what we want. If we do that, I think we can come out on top.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers fall 32-13 to Watertown last night, now 0-2 on the season. Off to Brookings next Friday, 7 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. We'll come back, talk Minnesota Twins baseball to wrap things up on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins, watch that baseball soar. Crack down a home